a roundup of the main business news from China and elsewhere. This is Global Business.
Coming up on Global Business, ancestral tribute. Today is Qingming Festival, on which day the Chinese would pay worship to their ancestors and celebrate the onset of spring with family outings. Oath for New, China unveils trading initiative to boost consumption by replacing outdated industrial equipment, home appliances and automobiles. Parched Earth, Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa declares ongoing drought a state of disaster, urgently seeks $2 billion in aid. From CGTN headquarters in Beijing, this is Global Business. I'm Lily Liu. Today is the Qingming Festival, or Tomb Sweeping Day in China. It is a traditional festival honoring one's ancestors. And on this day, Chinese people go to cemeteries with offerings, clean up weeds around the tombs, and pray for family prosperity. Qingming, which means pure brightness in English, is also one of China's 24 solar terms. It is when temperatures begin to rise and rainfall increases, marking the right time for planting and sowing. Qingming combines elements of remembrance, filial piety, and the celebration of nature's renewal.
During this holiday, people commemorate ancestors. Families gather at cemeteries to remove weed, tidy up the area, and offer sacrifices. The day also heralds a season of rising temperatures and increasing rainfall, high time for plowing and sowing. Many people take advantage of this time to go on outings with family and friends. A traditional food named Qingtuan is often eaten during this festival. It is made from glutinous rice mixed with mugwort or barley grass and often filled with sweet bean paste. Eating Qingtuan is believed to bring good luck and health. Picking tea leaves is another activity during this holiday. The earliest batch of tea is often ready to be picked before Qingming Festival. Known as Mingqian tea, these tender leaves yield a tea with a gentle, mellow flavor and exceptional quality.
And this year, the Qingming Festival is expected to generate strong demand for traveling. And according to flight tracking software YumiTrip, China's civil aviation is expected to handle over 1.5 million passenger trips on domestic flights during the Qingming Festival. That marks a 30% increase from last year's first day of the holiday. And YumiTrip further projects that the number of trips will exceed 4.6 million from Thursday to Saturday. And compared to last year, more travelers are opting for flights to experience the beauty of fully blossomed scenery in destinations such as Beijing, Nanjing, and cities like Kashi in Xinjiang Uyghur Autonomous Region. And according to Chinese online travel giant Ctrip, the number of cars rented on this platform increased by 240% compared to the same period of last year. China Railway expects to transport 17 million passengers on Thursday. And to know how the country's railway system copes with this travel rush, we cross over to our reporter Xu Yi, who is now at the Beijing South Railway Station. Hi there, Xu Yi. So what are you seeing there on the first day of the festival?
Hi, Lily. Happy Qingming Festival holiday. And this is the first national holiday after the Chinese Spring Festival for the Chinese Lunar Year of the Lung to kick up the spring. And I am now at the Beijing South Railway Station. And we can feel that the bustling atmosphere here to see numerous tourists eager to start their journeys. And for the first day and the peak day of the Qingming Festival holiday, over 230,000 passengers will depart from this station. And the station staff also told me that the station is expected to send over 930,000 passengers during the five-day travel rush for the Qingming Festival holiday. And the average daily flow will reach about 186,000 passengers in a day. That is with an increase of over 14% on a yearly basis compared to 2019. And that is making another new record high for the station. And also nationally, the data from the China's National Railway Group also showed that the China's National Railway is expected to send over 75 million passengers during the five-day travel rush. And in the meantime, for the air transportation industries, it is also experiencing another new surge. Data from the booking platform showed that the China's domestic air tickets for the Qingming Festival holiday have already exceeded 1.1 million. up about 80% from a week ago. And for the high road transportation, the authority data showed that the China's highway system is seeing more than 60 million vehicles on the first day of the Qingming Festival holiday across the country. That is about 1.9 times that of the weekday traffic. Authority also believe that the traffic flow for the Qingming Festival holiday this year is making another new record high for the country. And in terms of the tourism industries, Chinese holidaymakers are choosing short trips for the Qingming Festival holiday this year, going for the hot destinations including Beijing, Shanghai, Chengdu, Hangzhou, Guangzhou, and also some new star cities like, of course, Tianshi City in Gansu province. And this place just caused a nationwide craze for its iconic street food, Mala Tang. And the data from the sea trip shows that the ticket orders to Tianshi City now have already increased by more than 21 times compared with the same period last year. And among all these travelers, the post-zero travelers are the main big fans for Tianshi City, accounting for over 50% of the total. And at the same time, the tomb sweeping activities and the spring outing activities like the tea culture, the flower-themed tourism, the bicycle tour also have become the trending choices for Chinese travelers this year. Also, especially for the younger generation, allowing them to release the beauty of the spring. And we wish all of them can have a good and safe trip for their holiday. And that's all from me on the first day of the Qingming Festival holiday. Back to you, Lily.
Great stuff. Thank you very much. That's my colleague Xu Yi at the Beijing South Railway Station for us. Well, since the middle of last month, about 50,000 hectares of plum blossoms have bloomed along the banks of the Yangtze River in Wushan, which is a county in southwest China's Chongqing municipality, where the place is a natural photo setting for tourists. Zhang Zhang reports from Chongqing.
As Tomb Sweeping Festival marks the arrival of spring, many Chinese go outside. Hiking and strolling through parks gives them appreciation to the beauty of nature. Qushi, town of Wushan, with the largest concentration of plum trees in the Three Gorges Reservoir area, has more than 3,294 acres of plum flowers in full bloom scattered across its hillsides and fields these days. Therefore, visitors hiding to this town are increasing recently.
We came to this village and saw the most beautiful plum blossoms. They are quite pretty. We had a great time playing and eating. The place is beautiful and people here are kind.
Besides views of blooming plum flowers, Qushi also provides various traditional Chinese-style activities, such as wearing handful costumes, adoring hair with the flowers, playing tohu, an ancient banquet game of throwing arrows into a pot, and so on. To provide a better service, the town has built over 30 rural guest houses to provide a dining and a gathering services for tourists.
Talking about Wushan, I like it really much because it's really calm and inspiring place, especially when you look at Yangtze River. And these plum trees, they are really good. And we also have experienced the wearing national dresses, ancient national dresses, and it was the first time for me, and I loved it a lot. I felt myself kind of a Chinese person with all this stuff wearing, putting on, and going like a lady.
Since the advent of plum blossoms, Qushi has received more than 36,000 tourists in 2 weeks, with its rural homestays generating an income of more than 800,000 yuan. Meanwhile, Wushan has received 1.26 million tourists, garnering more than 378 million yuan.
My name is Hu Lan. I am from Mongolia. This is my first time like Wushan. I feel like a so amazing place and so beautiful.
Wushan crisp plum with its dense flesh, juicy and fragrant taste and crisp texture enjoys the reputation of famous fruit of China and other accolades. With a brand value of 2.71 billion yuan, it's truly the number one brand of plums in South China. Wushan County has planted 300,000 bushels of crisp plums on a scale. In 2023, the county's crisp plum fruiting area was 140,000 bushels, with a production of 135,000 tons and a comprehensive output value of 1.8 billion yuan. To ensure the quality of crisp plums, Wushan County has opened a full cargo charter flight route dedicated to crisp plums, helping Wushan crisp plums achieve next-day delivery to major cities across the country.
Zhang Shuang, Jin Mengyuan, CGTN, Chongqing.
And now for more discussions on the Qingming Festival and related consumption, let's bring in Mr. Liu Zhiqing, Senior Fellow of the Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies, Renmin University of China. Mr. Liu, always a pleasure to have you on the show. So first of all, how do you think the Qingming Festival holiday in China differ from the other holidays in terms of consumption and traveling behaviors?
I should say that the Qingming Festival is very different and very special in China. And many people take this Qingming Festival as the second most important festival after Spring Festival, because these are days that the family people and all people and their friends were to honor or to memory of the affection, express their affection and the respect to the beloved ones that have already passed away before. And also they have to cherish today's life, and also they have to pray a good future fortune. So this Qingming Festival is really a good combination of three factors that honor the past away the beloved people, and also to cherish the present, the time, the good life today, and also pray for a good future and for the future. So this is really a very good combination with the tradition, with the today's fashionable lifestyle. So in this way, we can see that the Qingming Festival is well popular in China. Many people pay the great respect and tribute to this event. So we can see from the highway, from the high-speed train, and also from airline services are very busy with to serve these travelers all over the country.
Now, speaking of traveling, what would be your outlook for China's major commercial airlines this year? I mean, considering they were seeing reduced financial losses in year 2023 as compared with 2022.
Yeah, that's true. From last year, from this statistic, is not so optimistic for the airline service last year, because they had a small loss of almost 2 billion renminbi yuan. But nowadays, I think it will be greater improved according to the economic development. As we know, the airline service is always dependent on the development of the economy. When the economy develops well, healthy, sustainable, and the airline and other transportation will be a follow-up to catch up the pace of the economic recovery. According to the information to the festival, the airline has already served very well. I think that compared to the last year, only in the Spring Festival, they have already increased almost 32%. And every day they have 120,000 people that have traveled with the airline. This is a big step forward for the airline this year. So from the whole world airline service, we can see that a good booming and a boost this year, because of very positive from the international airline service that they almost $1 trillion for this year. I think this cake is big enough for Chinese airline. I think 10% of this cake is more important and more efficient for Chinese airline. So we are very optimistic that this year the China's airline service will catch up the speed and also the growth rate of the economic recovery.
Well, also, what would you kind of offer your piece of advice for those cities that have already become internet sensations in order to maintain their popularity and also keep attracting tourists?
This is a very important question, because many people try to know the answer, how to attract more people as always, not only for the festival time or not only for the long weekend. In normal days, they can also can attract more travelers and visitors there. But actually, I think only 2 points are very essential. First, this city should be a combination of tradition and today's fashion. Both sides are very important. Without the tradition, there's no internet cities or attraction can attract more young people there, because many young travelers, they do not only like the modernize the equipment and modernize the life, their services, but also they are looking forward to the tradition of the local cities. And secondly, very important that they have a high quality services. For instance, the catering and the transportation service, even for emergency services, first aid and medical care, all kinds of the services must be in good and high quality. These 2 points are the main essential event or essential factor to attract more travelers, not only for young people, but also for aging people.
Well, great insights. Thank you very much, Mr. Liu Zhiqing, Senior Fellow of Chongyang Institute for Financial Studies, Renmin University of China. Thank you very much. And still to come here on Global Business, trading old for new. China unveils a trade-in initiative to boost consumption by replacing outdated industrial equipment, home appliances, and automobiles.
The world economy as we know it is about to change. Global business reports highlight emerging markets, developing countries, and dynamic sectors worldwide. We feature top analysts and newsmakers to provide perspectives on every facet of business. From an on-the-ground perspective, we provide you with balanced and objective assessments. Fast, sharp, and insightful. Global Business. Only on CGTN.
Welcome back. U.S. Treasury Secretary Janet Yellen is set to visit China from today until April the 9th. This is her second trip to China within a year, following her previous visit in July 2023. Yellen's itinerary includes a stop in Guangzhou, which is known as China's manufacturing hub. Our correspondent Huang Fei has more details.
During her 2-day stay in Guangzhou, Secretary Yellen will have extended dialogues with Chinese officials and U.S. business leaders here. She will start tomorrow by hosting a roundtable with economic experts to discuss the challenges and opportunities in China's economy, as well as meet with the governor of Guangdong, Wang Weizhong. In the afternoon, she will participate in an event by MChem China, talking to U.S. business leaders, as well as to give remarks on the bilateral economic ties. She will then meet with Vice Premier He Lifeng. Talks are expected to expand into the next morning, which is Saturday, and in the afternoon she will depart for Beijing. Now, the timing of her visit in China is significant, coming straight after a direct talks between Chinese President Xi Jinping and U.S. President Joe Biden. President Xi pressed or warned of the risks of U.S. policies on curbing China's technological developments, especially in restricting semiconductor exports to China. Now, Yellen is going to be hoping to foster better economic ties with China, alleviate some of those tensions, as well as, we can see the fact that she's choosing Guangzhou as her first stop really says something. She's, indicating a focus on the industrial production landscape here. This is a manufacturing powerhouse. Guangzhou is home to many leading producers of EVs, batteries, as well as new materials. Now, Yellen has been quite vocal in what she sees as overcapacity and over investment in some of these industries and what that could do to American workers and manufacturers worldwide. So she will be pressing for or advocating for fair practice and also exploring pragmatic solutions to some of the areas that U.S. and China disagree on. But in addition to economic talks, she will also be discussing other common issues facing China and the U.S. These are climate change, illicit financing, as well as helping debt-distressed nations.
China's central bank says it will bolster the effects of its monetary policies in a bid to stimulate the country's economy. In a statement released on Wednesday after the latest quarterly meeting of its Monetary Policy Committee, the People's Bank of China said that the economy is currently facing subdued demand and relatively weak social expectations. The bank vowed to gain more from its pro-growth policies, including guiding down the financing costs for both enterprises and individuals, emphasizing the importance of further support to the real economy, and the bank aims to direct efforts towards promoting the growth of the science and technology-driven new quality productive forces. China's National Development and Reform Commission has announced its commitment to promoting large-scale equipment upgrades and the trade-in of consumer goods. During an NDRC meeting, discussions centered around enhancing the implementation of policies related to equipment upgrades, consumer goods trading, recycling and reuse, as well as elevating industry standards. The focus is on improving the disposal process of equipment from scrapping to recycling, remaking, and resourcing. The NDRC also emphasized the importance of financial support and technological innovation to facilitate tax breaks and recognize the crucial role of leading enterprises. Now, these efforts aim to invigorate consumption and stimulate investment in China. Now for more insights on this latest trading policy, let's bring in Mr. Chen Jiahe, Chief Investment Officer, Novan Market Technologies. Hi there, Jiahe. So how do you think China's ultra new policies have been effective in spurring consumption?
Hi, Lily. Should this new policy will have a large impact on the consumption, stimulating that it increases the consumption of many items such as home appliances, NEVs, which is new energy vehicles, etc. Really, when we look at the operating life of these equipments, they last from 5 to 10 years. Some might last 15 years, but that's the longest. But the efficiency of new equipment is always higher. They cost less energy and operate with high efficiency. Therefore, with this program, more demand will be encouraged, especially when the real estate market is soft at this moment. This program is very helpful with the selling of many items. Take air conditioner, for example. It is partly linked with the selling of new flats and houses. Really, people are more likely to buy some new air conditioner once they got a new flat. So this program will help out with the selling of these things. And consider the fact that there is a long industrial chain alongside these consumption items, and it means even more industries will be helped out.
And also, what measures are necessary to create greater demand for the ultra new policy?
Well, there are many detailed jobs to do under this old for new program. There are two large parts of it. First is identifying who shall be included in this program. That means the program has to find the most effective targets for handling out the subsidies. This is a very challenging task since it is hard for us to find the exact accurate products. So the best thing to do might be using the market as a judgment. That is, let the market and the billion consumers to find out the products that are more fitting for this program. And the second thing is arranging subsidies. This means the government has to get the money. It can come from many areas such as tax, tariff, issuing new bond, etc. Arranging the accurate funding is vital for this program.
And also, exactly how big of a size is the market that we're talking about, and what sort of opportunities do you think it brings for businesses?
Well, this old for new market can be very large. Think about this. The serving life of most equipment range between 5 to 10 years. For example, a mobile phone lasts around 5 years or even less. A TV can last 10 years. New energy vehicle and air conditioner last between 10 to 15 years. If we take the average number of 10 years, which means every year, 1/10 or 10% of all equipment will be replaced with new ones. According to the data, the old for new is estimated to be a market that contains annual trading value of over 5 trillion RMB. And if you look at detailed sectors, there are now over 300 million cars in China. There are over 3 billion large home appliances such as fridge, TV, air conditioner, etc. According to the latest plan, in the next 4 years, China is planning to increase the second-hand car trading by 45% and increase the used home appliance recycling by 30%. This is a very promising market.
And also, besides home appliances and automobiles, and we also talked about earlier that a policy also covers industrial equipment, but what are the other sectors that you think would also, you know, be fit into this policy framework?
Well, actually, home appliances and automobiles are just the two largest parts with this policy, but they include many other things. For example, the equipment used in transportation, aircraft, medical service facilities, industrial equipment, of course, agriculture equipment, etc. For these areas, the new equipment can be more efficient in many ways. It can be more energy saving, more capable, and they can have a better employment of digital operating system, even AI system, etc. For example, go to the farms in China's rural areas. We can now see more and more modern equipment employed. They reduce the labor employed and increase the efficiency and income of farmers.
Well, great insights. Thank you very much, Chen Jiahe from Novan Market Technologies. Zimbabwean President Emmerson Mnangagwa has declared the country's ongoing drought a state of disaster. He says the country needs $2 billion in aid. CDTN's Farah Manukua reports from Harare.
More than 80% of Zimbabwe has received below average rainfall during the El Nino-induced drought, which will shrink grain output, cause a 680,000-ton grain shortfall, and leave more than 2.7 million people in need of food aid. The crisis has prompted President Emmerson Mnangagwa to join his Malawian and Zambian counterparts in calling an emergency.
I do hereby declare a national state of disaster due to the El Nino-induced drought. Accordingly, I now invoke Section 27, subsection 1 of the Civil Protection Act.
That allows him to implement extraordinary response measures and accept donor aid. Addressing journalists at State House earlier, President Mnangagwa said his government will mount a robust and comprehensive response that will require some $2 billion to make sure no one goes hungry. If necessary, some planned government projects may be shelved.
Adequate resources will therefore be mobilized and redirected towards national food security, including through supplementary grain imports. All available grain in the country will be secured through competitive prices and prompt payment towards encouraging farmers to release and sell available grain.
Zimbabwe also plans to increase the amount of land producing wheat during the upcoming winter season and expand irrigation to shore up food supplies. Farai Mwakutuya, CGTN, Harare, Zimbabwe.
And with that, I'm wrapping up this edition of Global Business here on CGTN. Thanks for being with us. I'm Lily Beijing.